Hey, welcome back to the Four Fat Fatties. I am Allie, and this is
Alyssa,
Rebecca,
Maria.
Hey, everybody. So we are talking about this week a viral post that we saw over the last couple weeks. Now that it is one of our, honestly, our favorite seasons, because we do support the troops, and that is the Girl Scouts.
The Girl Scout honor.
About. Yeah, 100%. So we've seen a little post that's been going around. And that's what we wanted to talk to you guys about today. And I'm going to read it for you, and then we're going to discuss things like we do.
We're going to get down to it.
Here we go. Let's go. When you're approached by a Girl Scout selling cookies, please do not mention your diet, talk about calories, point out your body flaws, narrate out loud why you're not buying them if it has to do with your weight. Narrate out loud why you're not buying them if you can't have them in the house because you'll eat the whole box. Or ask which cookies are the healthiest. Mm. A simple no thank you goes a long way for our girls.
I mean, I think it's a fantastic post. Same. And I think it's way overdue. I the fact that we haven't seen anything like that yet, I don't know. I think it...
Like, what year is it?
No, I know. I just think it's really impactful. And I think it's... For people who are not aware... I think it's a good way to be like, hey, check yourself. Your language check matters.
Like, let's talk about this, though. Mm-hmm. Like, why, like, we know, right? The four of us know why this matters so much. But for people who might not know, why does this matter so much? Right now, especially, but just in the grand scheme of things as well.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought goes to... I am 35 years old, about to be 36 in like a week, okay?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I said it so I get a happy birthday. I have vivid memories starting from the time I was 6 or 7 of people saying things to me about what I was eating. And they did affect me and tell me if I was good or bad. You know, and so it starts really early, and the way we talk to our children is often the way we talk to ourselves, the way we talk to others. And we're careful usually when we talk to children. So if it's even coming out there, you know, then what else are we doing with our words? So I just think it's really helpful that we are talking about it and that people are trying to raise awareness that what you say to these kids as they're doing these things that are very normal kid things that's been part of a large tradition for the Girl Scouts, it might stay with them, all right? And it is affecting them even in the moment, even if it doesn't stay with them. Till they're 35, still remembering what you said. Uncle Eddie, I'm thinking about you.
Through a lot of...
Shots fired.
Through a lot of reflection, I think people are surprised to hear that the first memory I have of, like, restricting food was in 5th grade at lunch. Like, because I was so aware that... My body was different. I was in elementary school. Wow. And I literally took my lunch and would throw it out and just tell, like, just to pretend like I ate the whole thing. Right? Like, that's so young. Like, I think about that now. Like, you're a baby. And I had already had a concept and an idea that my body was not good and I needed to fix it and change it.
Okay, so were any of us in Girl Scouts?
Yeah.
I was. Anybody?
I made it to brownies. I only AKA made the it, first round.
Same. I also only made it to brownies, and were you were?
I made it to 6th grade, and I don't know what that is.
Okay, damn.
I stopped when I went to middle school, but okay. My mom was our Girl Scout troop leader, and we kind of had a lot of fun. We did cool things.
I got scared when we went to camps, but I do remember we had this like spaghetti dinner where you couldn't use your hands and you couldn't use any silverware.
That's fun.
Maybe it just wasn't silverware, and you could use your hands.
I hate everything about
apparently
that.
Apparently, that's still going on.
I can't.
That's so silly.
Yeah. But like I only made it through brownies. I think I didn't like the outfits. And then my mom tried to put me in etiquette classes, and that also did not work out well for her. But I remember like being even that young. Like, how old are you when you're in the brownies? Who knows? But like being that young and thinking about some of these things, like having grown women tell me like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm not being bad this week. Right. Mm-hmm. And those are still things that I hear in my daily life from adults who are putting moral values onto inanimate objects, right? That are like, oh, I'm being so bad, I'm going to have an extra piece of bread, or I'm being so bad, I'm going to get cheese on my sandwich today. We're being bad, but bad. What? And so that's why I think this post is so cool, because it's literally like, this is the first time I have seen really the general population take a little bit of responsibility for the way that we're talking to at least the younger generation, maybe not us, but like the younger generation, and say, hey, maybe we should be a little bit more careful about the shit that we say to them, right? I don't know. I feel like there's thoughts here. There's thoughts happening behind those doe eyes.
The whole idea of, like, adding morality to food really gets me. Like, mm-hmm. I've been through stuff with a dietitian. I know you have. And a lot of the messaging is that you ate today. Like, congratulations, you did it. Like, why are we assigning all these things? But not only that, but, like, if you just think about the food pyramid and all that nonsense that we were fed for so many years, like, how many breads were on there? But then you don't want me to eat the breads? I'm so confused. And then you wonder why so many of us have struggled with nutrition. Yeah. Like, none of it makes sense. It's always flip-floppy. And then so many of us struggle, and then we're, like, kicked for it. Mm-hmm. Like, well, why don't you know? Why don't you know what to do? Like, maybe because it's been mixed messaging for years, and literally decades.
It's mixed messaging because whatever diet concept they're working with has to function in a certain way. And it really promotes this, like, all in or all out mindset of, like, you must be doing all of these rules. And if you mess up at all, then you're all the way out. Right. And that's where so many of us have gone on to, like, yo-yo dieting and so on. But it also just makes it hard to, like, come to peace with any kind of food. And the thing is like, we like to say, oh, the bigger kids are the ones eating all these XYZs. No, because you know what? My household that I grew up in, my dad was diabetic. We didn't have any carbs in our dinner. If so, it was a little potatoes and veg all, or canned veg all. We did not have breads. We had like Snackwells cookies, you know? Meanwhile, my friend who was in softball and stuff, her family had dessert, like homemade dessert every night, mm-hmm. you know? And I think about like, okay, so my biggest Girl Scout memory is actually that my dad would buy Girl Scout cookies and he would put them in the top of his closet. Now, that's not necessarily to keep us from eating it because he thought we were big kids or anything. It's because he had four children and he knew he wanted those cookies, dang it, and like our little grubby hands are going to get in it.
Same.
You know, so he had to. You know, I would.
I respect the grind.
Yeah, I respect the grind. He's like, listen, these peanut butter patties.
You're
going to
keep your hands off my cookies, kids.
Yes. But because they were up in his closet, they were
the Holy Grail.
Yes.
They were and so much more taboo.
Yes.
Like, who can steal that cookies? It was a whole little mission.
And when you did get them, especially, I think a lot of my food issues come from having siblings. Because when we did get it, siblings and not enough of food. Because I still very much like feel like I don't have enough and I overbuy so that I don't have to not have stuff. Is when it did become available, if you didn't grab your share then, your siblings definitely were. And, like, you weren't going to get any. So then whenever we could have it, of course we wanted it. And, of course, we'd be so overly excited. And I'm just like, if that food wasn't, like, bad sometimes and good sometimes, and you can't have it now, but you can have it then, and, you know, only like, this prize thing that, again, was made taboo, it would just be such more of a neutral item for me versus this really packed.
It's so true though, because like I've even noticed that for myself in the last 2 years, where I have kind of changed my relationship with food to like understanding that if I just stop like assigning these moral values to food, or stop, you know, oh, I can't have too much of this, or I can't have too much of this, or this is bad, this is good, whatever, like I've noticed that things that I used to quote unquote binge on or pig out on or whatever they'll say, right? Mm. I now am like, I can keep, you know, an entire pack of Oreos, right? And just grab, you know, two because they taste good, right? And it's not like I feel like I have to eat the whole entire package at once because I really shouldn't have these. So let me just get through these super quick, you know, like they were never here. And it's funny, like, it's funny how those similar experiences really do, like, you don't really, there's so much that goes behind, like, our eating behaviors and how we restrict things and like, the psychology behind food. So I think it's really interesting to have those, like, almost different experiences, but same perspectives at the same time. And then it's also what you said about, like, the food pyramid and stuff. It's so wild to me how, like, our whole lives, right, going to school, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, even this pyramid and this level and this layer and this layer. And then you get to your, what? You get to your upper 20s and it's like, oh, well, you can't have fruit because it's got too much sugar in it. You can't have this because it's like, this is from...
Don't eat bread.
This is from outside. This came out of the ground and this is bad for me. It's bad because it has too much natural sugar.
Well, I mean, if we think about it, like, look at eggs. Oh, okay, eat the egg, but hard boil it. Oh, but now don't eat the yolk, because mm-hmm. that's where all the bad part is.
All the bad part.
Oh, but wait. No, like, egg whites are bad too now, so you should only eat the yolk. But, oh, no, just kidding. Like, maybe
Cholesterol-free, but actually need some good cholesterol.
Right. Does this not sound insane? Does it not sound insane? Like, and then you walk through the grocery store and you see these, oh, fat-free this and guilt-free this. Okay. Did you know that guilt is not actually an ingredient?
Mm.
It's not. I don't know if you guys were aware of that, but, like, anybody who's like, oh, this is guilt-free.
Oh, I add it to all my meals.
You know what?
A sprinkle of this.
A little bit of guilt.
A little salt, pepper, a dash of shame, and a quarter cup of guilt.
I like to add a little petty at the end of mine, too. Just, you know. Just
and a
funsies.
Whole heap of love.
If you add joy to that, you better back away.
You better back away.
But if you have those Dolly Parton brownies, though, that's another story. Anyway. Sponsor us, Duncan Hines.
Oh, yeah. I tagged their butt the other day, and they did respond with some hearts. I know. Like, I love me some Dolly Duncan.
You guys, we're soft launching our relationship with Duncan Hines right now. Oh
my God. I am curious about kind of what were you made two points that I really want us to kind of branch off of. One is that, like, we're thinking about how we are starting to think about the way we talk about this with kids, and yet it's not necessarily translating to how we talk about this with adults, which is interesting. And that's always code for me being like, I hate it. And then I think the other thing is, like, what are those early experiences we've all had as kids that start making morality equate with our food choices? Like, I'm curious how that started getting instilled in us, because I do think it's a lot from the people closest to us. And it's things we've heard. And again, sometimes we've only heard it once, but it was enough of, like, a shock to our system. So I'm kind of curious, like, what memories do you have where you realized food was being moralized and you started taking those on?
I wish I could pull it up on my phone, and maybe we'll put something in the video or in the description. But there is a statistic currently that you can predict what a girl's body image is going to be based off her mother's body image. Mm. And it's a very high statistic. And in my case, I don't think either of my parents have a good relationship with food. I think my mom has done a lot of work for herself. And she has started with one of those boutique gyms, but, like, she loves it there and she's so happy and she feels good in her body. And I love that for her. Right. And it's not that she's lost weight or her shape has changed. It's just that she feels empowered in her body. So I think she's been working on that much later in life. And frankly, I think a lot because her daughter started working on it. My sisters and I really pushed my mom to be like, why are you wearing clothes that our grandmother would wear? Like, you don't need to do that. Like, why are you hiding? Why are you, you know, like... Where, you know,
I do think it's our generation and maybe, like, the decade above us that are really bringing these conversations up, and the older generations are being pushed to think about these. They didn't have their peers to talk about this stuff with. Yeah. So it's not surprising to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, as someone who has done a lot of personal reflection on, like, my journey and how I ended up here, and, you know, I think we don't realize how consistent the messaging is. And truly, I don't think we, even as people who are cyber aware, are always keened into where the messaging lies. It is as simple as talking to an acquaintance who is in a smaller body and them talking negatively about their body. That is a jab. Oh, that is a message.
We talked about this when we were actually talking about the idea for this episode. We were in the car. Where were we driving to? We were driving up to Concord to go to Basilica.
Yes.
Okay. So we were talking about this episode specifically, and we were talking about how, so in one of my previous lives, I was a realtor, and I worked with some of the most beautiful women in the world. I mean, they're absolutely stunning, right? But they also are, their bodies look very different than mine. They're considered a straight size, they're considered skinny, thin, whatever you want to call them, right? And this was kind of at the beginning of my, like, self-love journey, my body acceptance, all the loving myself stuff. I don't know why I just did all that. and it became so apparent to me so quickly, like, how I didn't realize, like, how often there would be at least one, if not several of them, every single day coming into the office. Oh my God, I'm so fat today. I'm so fat today. I'm so fat today. And I'm like, I am here.
And once you're tuned into hearing it, you can't not hear it.
You can't unhear it.
You can't unhear it. But so, like, and I
like to point out, I'm fat every day.
I literally, and it's like, and, but the thing is, it's like, so I have to sit there and yes, there were times where I tried to educate and try to say, you know, what do you really mean? What do you mean? Like, Jennifer Lawrence, right? But like, what do you mean? And it's like, are you saying that you are fat today? Or you are gross today? What are you actually saying, yeah, right? And so it did cause some of them to think about it. But for the most part, it was always, I'm so fat today. Oh, I need to lose 3 pounds before I go to Mexico next week. And it's like, oh my God. But at the same time, like, it was kind of going back to your question, like, I didn't really realize until I kind of started doing the work of like how often I would hear somebody say those things like in my general orbit and just like not taking into account the way that we speak around people and the way that we have these conversations. And kind of, again, going back to like, I'm so happy that we now have this viral post and that adults are taking responsibility for the way that they're talking about food and bodies and all this stuff around kids, because it is so internalized. Because I do remember from a very young age of being, you know, super self-conscious about going for seconds, right? Or are you going to eat all that? Or, you know, these like microaggressions that you don't really understand, like their impact until you have 35 years of like, oh my God, like, didn't you just eat? Or are you really going to, you know, you're gonna have dessert too or whatever. And it's like, yeah, it does a lot.
The amount of times that people have commented on what I had on my plate is beyond my ability to count.
Yeah.
So
I brought my Uncle Eddie, and I must have been probably 6 or 7, and it was like a 4th of July party, because that's when we would go over to their house because they had a pool. And I remember being in the kitchen and getting some food, and it must have been my second plate. He goes, second plate already? You know? And I just remember feeling like, wow, like, I felt so observed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so under the microscope. And I see that now with my nephews and niece and stuff. I have a one nephew, Parker, who, he's going to be a tall boy. And he is slightly heavier, and I feel like he gets scrutinized more than my other niece and nephews because they're thinner, and so people aren't looking at what they're eating, they're looking at what he's eating. And I feel it. He's 5. I feel their gaze on his plate, and I've already seen people comment a couple of times about what he's eating, and I'm like, I feel my defenses go up for him.
Yeah.
I feel my concern for how people are going to talk to him about his body. And the thing is, like, we are, of course, women here, and we identify as such, and so our experiences are shaped by being women. But I teach college, and so many of my male college students have been much more vocal about them having eating disorders, a lot of times either because they were chubby teens or because they were in athletics, and their coaches really coach them towards eating disorders, you know, and no one's free from this. Everyone's caught in this system, and probably the only people that feel free are the ones who bought in. And, you know, and it just, who does it serve? Who does this kind of, like, moralizing of food serve? I don't know what benefits come from it at all.
Just moralizing of our bodies in general. Moralizing of food, moralizing of our looks. Like, I mean, if we could answer those questions, I don't think we'd have a podcast, honestly. But, like, you know, like, it really, and we dealt with it again this week of having someone tell us that we were actually putting harm out into the world. We were, by putting out a dangerous message, when we're just telling people that you don't have to look at yourself and say, you don't have to look in the mirror and say, I'm good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. Now, internally, could people be better or worse? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like this woman who said these things about us, right?
Well, I do think it's interesting because I was like, you know, I had a thought for myself this week of like, because that call out, right? They want to make it about our behavior by like the fact that we're talking about this stuff, right? Mm. Because normally what happens is we get called out just for the way we look. And normally I'm a fan of saying you can call out behaviors. But I thought it was so interesting because we saw, like, our perspective of our behavior and what we're doing is very different than her perspective of our behavior and what we're doing. I don't know where that's going. But essentially, like, this idea, like, internal, is that even that's not a straight and, you know, factual sense. Like, we have what we value. Like, we are operating on two different value systems. And, like, we're not going to agree on what behaviors are appropriate.
That's me sprinkling in the petty. Yeah. That was what I was doing there.
Not only that, but can we just talk about what that video was that she even commented on?
Please do.
Like, it was literally just us dancing. Like,
we were pure baby
we
angels.
We were literally just dancing. There were some terrible dance moves, mostly for me.
I was going to say, most of the game, y'all's were elite. Actually, you know who's were elite? Alyssa, your dancing were elite.
Yeah, she meant it, but...
Thanks, guys. That makes me feel good.
But all we were doing was dancing. And all of a sudden, there was all this moral ambiguity added to it out of nowhere. Had nothing to do with anything. But also, can we talk about the fact that when we don't move, we're told that we're so fat. And why don't you go out? Why don't you do something? Why don't you move your body? And now we're literally doing that. And it's still not good enough. Still. And then to add to that, like... She tells us, like, she went on this huge tirade about how the messaging we're putting out there is terrible for children, and, like, what if other young girls see this? Mm. What?
And like, not only that, what if the other young girls see this and think that it's okay to be fat because they'll have friends and support?
Ooh, wow.
Excuse me? Yeah. Excuse me? So our message of telling people that if no matter what they are worthy of having friends and support, if that is a dangerous message, I will be happy to continue to spread it.
I'd love to co-sign that.
Absolutely.
That just like hurt me, like that just hurt like a young part of me.
Yeah.
No, like her, like again, something about like me reading it online, it doesn't emotionally hit me until I hear y'all say it out loud. And maybe I need to start saying this stuff out loud more, because what is put online, like, people should say it out loud and, like, see what it feels like to say those things. Because when I was in high school and I had a couple friends who I thought were just confident, amazing girls that were funny and beautiful, I thought of myself of undeserving. Like, how am I so lucky that they chose to be my friend? And, like, what am I bringing to this friend group? Because it's not like I'm bringing party, fun boys, etc. You know, like, I just really... did not feel like I deserved friends. And to hear this woman actually think that it's wrong to make fat kids think they deserve to have friends.
Right.
It's uncomfortable. Or support.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Uncomfortable. It's so, that's like, that's what got me so angry this week. And like, that's why I was messaging you guys. Like, please, I need help like getting off the internet because I'm so like, I'm so angry right now because I just like, it is, it's literally, it's people want to look at us and place moral values the same way that they do with food, the same way that they do with diet, like with exercise, with all the kind of stuff. And it's like,
On a human being.
On a human being. On an actual person. And it's just... I was telling this to my other friend the other day, my friend Megan, that, like, I literally... Sometimes it is truly insane to me how much time we have to spend on the internet just trying to convince people that we're a actual person.
Right.
Like, a person and not just a body, and not just a body that looks different. And that we literally are just here to spread a little joy and let people know that it's okay to not hate yourself. And we're getting, you know, oh, well, that's not what you're doing. That's not what you're doing.
You're promoting obesity.
You're promoting obesity. You're telling people that they should be fat.
Once have we said you should be fat.
And you know what? If you should be fatter. Just go for it. Absolutely.
Sure. But we've never once had that be our messaging. Or like,
we're not promoting any body type. We're not promoting a diet. We're not promoting an exercise. We're not promoting anything other than pure fucking joy.
Well, I would actually like to think about what we are promoting. So one of the things like that I'm curious about is how do you talk about bodies with others? Like, do you model it? Do you try to show different ways of talking about bodies? Like, Alyssa, I'm curious about you because you work with kids.
Yeah.
And you're around a lot of kids, so you hear them talking about things.
I see. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was getting upset a little bit.
I'm sorry.
No, not because of anything you said, but just because, like, I really do work with kids. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, I run a theater and a dance program at a local YMCA. And I have kids from preschool all the way to, we actually had adults this year in our shows, which was a lot of fun. But I think people don't realize that kids are always listening. Mm-hmm. And they're always watching and they're always learning. And that is what is so beautiful and so scary about kids. And, you know, I don't know if this adds any value to the podcast or to this episode, but Rebecca was talking about, you know, her uncle and people making comments. And I have a really, really strong memory of me in middle school. And I was dancing like 30 plus hours a week. Like, dance was the only personality trait I knew I had. And frankly, I didn't even really feel like I belonged there, which is so crazy to me. Like, thinking back, like, I never felt like I had a place at my dance studio. I felt like I was constantly bullying the bullies. So, like, I wasn't even myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was, like, fighting for a place to, like, be there and, like, be a good dancer regardless. But regardless... I remember sitting at the table and my grandmother, who's also in a large body, my Nona, looks at me and goes, Alyssa, why are you so big when you dance so much? And I don't remember what I said, but I do know that I responded fairly aggressively to the point where my dad called me into the other room and like yelled at me. He was like, do not yell at my mother. And the fact that he was like defending the question instead of being like coming in being like, hey, we're not going to ask that and we're not going to answer.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, sure. If I needed to be checked, I needed to be checked. But I think it was the message of defending.
Okay. Right. It was okay for her to have those actions.
Yeah.
But it wasn't okay for you to have a reaction.
Yeah. And I was learning, you know, I was in middle school at that point and I learned like, oh, my body is okay for anyone to talk about it in comments.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I learned.
For discussion.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and like I am, first things first, I love working with kids and I love my job. So it really fills my bucket. And there has been like a personal mission of, I felt so unsafe and so unwelcome. So there's been like a really big personal, like, makes me feel so good to be able to provide like a safe space for kids to come and just be the weird kid. Mm-hmm. You know, we have so many weird kids. And yes, we have other kids who aren't weird, who goes, that's the weird kid. And yes, I go, okay.
I'm the weird kid.
Right? Okay, so they're different, that they're still welcome here. And we send a very, very strong message that anyone is welcome, regardless. And the only thing we do not tolerate is bullying. And even if you are making a mistake, we're going to have a conversation about it. We're going to check each other and we're going to move forward in love. And if we can move on, we'll never bring it up again. You know, we really give the kids a place to make mistakes and grow and learn. And absolutely in the arts and auditioning, we get all of the body image stuff that also mm-hmm. comes into yeah. that. And yeah. I think the team that I work with is hyper aware of it because of my experience, and they know that I had to take medical leave from work and that I was doing a lot of it. But yeah, we absolutely do have to have conversations around, like, where's your snack? Why aren't you eating a snack right now? Like, we've been rehearsing for 3 hours. What do you mean yeah. you didn't bring anything? Yeah. Like, you need to eat something, you know?
Yeah.
The kids know me because I'm constantly like, you need to drink water, you yeah. know? Like, you need to fuel yourself. Something silly I say is like, if your pee's not clear, you need to drink more water, yeah. you know? Which is not necessarily the truth, but like anything to get them to like take care of themselves, you yeah. know? And, yeah. I'm really careful to say, like, I don't say pack a healthy snack, right? I say pack a snack that's going to give you lots of energy is more the verbiage we use, right? Yeah. And really being clear and direct in what you're saying, like, words really do matter. Yeah. And I think that's the whole thing around this episode, is that your words matter, your actions matter. Kids are always watching, they're always learning. If you are not responding in the appropriate way, they are learning something and taking something away from that, right?
That's so true. That's like 100%. That's, I mean, I think that we all probably have like at least one, if not like an entire like reserve of those like kind of like core memories of our family members or somebody kind of making us feel like, this wasn't okay. But like, again, we're just now getting into that point where, like, you know, we talked about in an episode, was it last week or the week before? I can't remember now. But just how, you know, it's finally now just being talked about that, like, we don't have to take our doctor's word as like, right? So like now we're getting to this point where we can question the adults in our lives and say, hey, you know, it wasn't right that you always, you know, took grandma's side and let her say these terrible things to me just because, you know, respect your elders, right? So I think that we're lucky to be at that point, I think, but there is still so much work to be done because of those things that we have internalized and the things that I realized that, like, I guess to answer your question, the things that I'm noticing that I do, like, I feel like such a broken record sometimes. But like, and I feel like I'm being annoying, but even, you know, being around my mom a lot, you know, my mom still has a lot of internalized body image issues, right? And I think that my mom is beautiful. I think that I never looked at my mom and said, you know, oh my God, you know, my mom is a fat person. Like, that was just never, right? But like, that's how my mom has always seen herself. And so like, all the time my mom's like, you know, oh, I'm being bad today. I'm being bad and having this. And I'm like, you're not, it's just food. You're having a snack. You're just having, you know, whatever. And like, but I, you know, even being around like my aunts and really anybody who makes any kind of comment about how they're eating, what they're eating, how much they're eating, any kind of this behavior around food, like trying to moralize their food around me, I'm just like, can you not?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that with me. Like, I specifically make sure that if nothing else, I will be the one safe place in your day where you don't have to feel judged or guilty for anything that you're doing. For if you're eating food, if you're crying, if you're whatever, like, I am a safe space for you, because I just feel like that's a big part of what a lot of us kind of missed out on growing up, was not really having that safe space to go to because our elders were, you know,
the law. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's hard to navigate checking your parents or, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that made me think about a couple of years ago, I was at a birthday party for my niece, and there was someone at the party who had lost a lot of weight. And immediately, as my personal family members, my immediate family members were arriving, they kept being like, oh, so-and-so's lost so much weight. I wonder if she's done XYZ. I wonder if that... And at the time, I was at my highest weight I've ever been, and I had already felt like my body was, again, open for discussion. Mm-hmm. And I just said to them, I was like, excuse me, like, when did she invite us to talk about her body? And I just said that very frankly to all of them. And for the first time in my life, my dad turned to me and said, I'm sorry. And they stopped.
Wow.
And it's scary to do that, you know? And I think we have to be like, do y'all realize what you're doing? Like, it's so part of the way we think. It's been so ingrained to look at people's bodies and make comments about bodies changing.
Well, even when you think it's a
positive.
Yes, thank you.
Like, they're framing it as a positive. But again, who invited you to talk about her body?
Yeah.
And she's not in this conversation. So, like, why is she up for discussion? And I just had such a anger that came out. And luckily they heard it. But they probably, if I had not done that, and maybe even after when I'm not there, they're still going to, you know? Yeah. And that's really hard. And so I feel like with me, I feel most empowered as a teacher. Granted, it's a removed relationship to my students because I'm not their family member or anything like that. But every single semester, I talk to my students about being fat. Every single semester. And I find it empowering for myself. I find it empowering for students because I teach writing. We talk about the power of words. And I talk about it from the frame of like what that word meant to me when I was young and how I was opened up to different ways of viewing that word as I got older. And that I realized that words are malleable, but they also have power depending on the intention, depending on who's saying it to who and in what ways, and that words don't just mean one thing. They mean lots of different things depending on how we're using it and who's saying it and for what reasons. And I always talk about being fat, and I find that 98% of my students see me in that moment as being vulnerable and brave, and that means they can be vulnerable and brave too. Yes. About their experiences. And 2% laugh at me for being fat. And I'm not teaching for that 2%.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm teaching for that 98% who hear it and then say, you know what? I had an eating disorder in high school and I'm still dealing with it because I was in wrestling and I had to cut weight all the time. Mm. Or I had to go to a mental health facility in high school and for the longest time I was embarrassed to tell anybody, but now I understand that it's part of my story. You know, like, I'm there for that 98%, and I think when we use our language for acceptance and understanding, things do follow suit. Like, that's something we have as a power in ourselves to use language in a way that opens versus closes.
Language is so important.
Yes.
And think about it, like, we had a pre-podcast, like, team meeting, right? Even just talking about, like, language that I might not know yet that will be offensive to, you know, people in larger bodies because I'm still learning and you guys knowing more because you've been on the internet longer, right? Like, we were saying language matters. Yeah. What you say matters. How you say it matters. Mm-hmm. The way you talk to people matters. So I think it's easier for people to get behind the way we talk about body image to kids because they're just kids, right? I do think it can be a really strong starting point in the sense that if we are careful and kids can grow up to be empowered regardless of what their body is, that maybe they'll do better moving forward about just not making comments about their body to other people or other people's bodies, and that you see growth long term. But this is very much directed towards, like, kids, right?
Mm-hmm. So one of the fun things about bodies is they do things. They all look different, and they change. And one of the things that's over the last year has happened for me is because I've gotten smaller in size, I still have lots of fat with my body, but it's softer now. And it does, it has different shapes, you know? And one of the things that my nephew Parker, who I do spend a lot of time with, this summer we went to the water park a lot. So we're always in swimsuits and everything. And kids are observant. And so kids will say the darndest things, you know? And one of the things, like, he's a very loving kid. And he's kind of touching my arm. And he's like touching my arm roll that hangs, you know? And it's a very soft roll, you know, arm roll now. And he's like pushing it up and down. And I think a lot of people would immediately like, no, don't touch my fat bits. I think that's like immediate reaction for a lot of people, especially if it's an insecurity of theirs. But I don't want him to be scared or like, everyone's arms look different, right? It's just my arm. He's just being sweet and soft with it. Aww. And so he's like, I like your arm. And I'm like, it feels like pudding, doesn't it? Like, like, I just imagine pudding like in a balloon. It's just soft. And he's like, yeah, like, it's my pudding arm. And he's like, pudding arm, pudding arm. And he's just sitting there, like, bouncing it. And you know, for me in that moment, it was just kind of like, aren't bodies interesting that, like, they feel like different textures and they look like different things and your fat can go in different places? And, you know, every time he would see me after that, he'd be like, pudding arm. He'd want to touch my pudding arm again. And it became this thing. And then my sister's like, you know, he's kind of going up to other people and, like, want to touch their pudding arms. And, like,
that's amazing.
And he's not actually calling it pudding arms, but, like, now he's kind of fascinated with arms.
Yes,
and
you know,
yeah. And
you gave him an arm kink.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Stop.
You took it into a dark place a little bit.
I cannot. I cannot.
But he's, you know, it's no longer summer. Winter has happened. He hasn't talked about putting arm in a long time, so I think he will develop fine. But he is going to be used to fat bodies. Like, his family has fat bodies, right? So, like, to him, seeing someone who's fat, who has an arm roll, is not shocking to him. It's not going to be anything that's, like, weird or out of the norm. And I'm like, I feel like he's going to be better adjusted to know that people exist in multiple bodies based on that.
Can I tell you something, though? Like, this is, it's so random, but, like, this is, like, partially healing me a little bit that you have this story, because so my arms look very similar to yours, but my arms started looking this way a very long, long time ago. Like, I was in high school when my upper, like, arm started to drop more, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, it was nothing that I had done. It just, my body just developed differently, right? And, like, I had fat coming from a different place than other people held fat when I was in high school, right? And my first, like, I of course noticed it, right? Like, as soon as it started looking a little bit different, I of course, that's what I obsessed over in the mirror. Every single day I was like, why is my arm? And that's when I started wearing jackets every day. Like, I covered my arms all the time, right? Same. But the funny thing is that my first experience of having someone point that out, and not just me, was an ex-boyfriend who looked at me and goes, ugh, what's that? Right? And so, and that's still, that I still have that in my head. And, like, even, like, you know, my boyfriend now, who, like, you know, kisses everywhere and is like, oh my God, every part of me is beautiful, right? Like, I have that, oh, what is that? And then you just have this beautiful, you know, memory with your nephew who's like, pudding arm, I love your pudding arm. Like, and I love that. And that's so, like, wholesome, and, like, because he doesn't see it as gross
or bad, or, like, yeah, it's just
not
my arm
ingrained in his mind. It's like, it's just a body. It's just a body. It's like, it's on your body. It doesn't make,
it's his Aunt Becky's arm who he loves.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 That's
yeah.
Wild.
I have a vivid memory of being in high school wearing a tank top, and my oldest sister saying to me, you feel comfortable wearing tank tops? Like, with that? And she had the same arm, but that's because it was uncomfortable for her.
Yeah.
And I wore sleeves for the next 4 years. You know?
You'd be surprised what your own family members will say.
One passing comment that likely she does not remember changed my behaviors for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know?
There's this quote, I'm gonna screw it up because I'm the worst, but
we love that.
It's like, basically, to the extent of, I didn't know this was bad until somebody told me it was.
Oh.
And that's kind of the whole idea with being fat. Like, I never thought fat was a bad word. I didn't think it was a bad thing until somebody was like, change that context for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a huge part about, like, why it's so important to talk to children differently, is because they are little sponges. They take in literally everything you say, and they're very much a product of their environment. Mm-hmm. So if they're growing up in spaces where it's not safe, in spaces where you can't just be, like, what do you expect?
Exactly.
And so, like, personally, I remember so many times with my grandmother where it was either eat, 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 like, you have to eat something, or when I would, then it'd be like, why are you still eating? So it's like, again, what do you want from me? It's like, so, like, again, vastly different sides of the spectrum, and it's either, like, why aren't you eating, or, oh, now you didn't eat right.
Yeah.
So, like, again, the struggle, like, what do you want? I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't.
Yeah.
And so, it's no wonder that so many people just have these difficulties, have eating disorders, disordered eating. Like, and they go through all this because so many of us had that every day. I remember another time when my aunts and my grandmother were doing a diet together, and they were like, why don't you do it with us?
Yep.
And I was like 9. And let's get into this diet real quick. It was a diet where you specifically only ate 5 oranges one day, 5 bananas the next day.
You were 9?
9. 5 hot dogs the next day. No ketchup, though. Not allowed. And then, like, another day, it was, like, 5 apples.
9?
This is such a ridiculous diet. Like,
so ridiculous. I want to say like another day was, like...
You see in, like, that, like, 1960s, like, vintage,
they're very
like,
viral because it's so easy to follow.
2 glasses of wine, a cigarette, and you go to bed.
And go to bed. I want to say the other day was, like, 5 hard-boiled eggs. But they were, like, you should do it with us. It'd be good for you.
Yeah, my dad invited me into Weight Watchers when I was a kid, too.
Yeah.
And I would ride with my mom to Jenny Craig. And I think that's the thing. Like, I understand, like, my parents were in diet culture. Like, my parents were deep in it. They were raised deep in it. And it's... And I'm not a parent. I can't imagine the responsibility I'd feel on my shoulders.
Right.
You know, raising a child. And you know, I get to think about it in terms of being cool Aunt Becky, not actually navigating raising a child on my own, you know.
Yeah.
But it is so influential, and I, you know, no parent really gets by without doing some kind of damage to their kid and doing a lot of good things too. But you know, it's really impossible.
That.
Yeah, like it's an impossible position to be in, I think, to not do something that's going to hurt your kid somehow.
And just, I mean, take away the being a parent, being a human being, right? You're not always going to get it right. We don't always get it right, right? But it's. This is showing me that there's been progress. There is progress happening that we're starting to be more aware. We're starting to understand that, you know, yeah, we do have older generations that are saying, oh, why, you know, why do these kids feel so much and why this and why that, blah, 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 blah. Because we do know more now. And it's okay that we know more now. It's okay that we understand that, yeah, kids do start internalizing this shit super early and kids start feeling bad about themselves really early because of the way that we talk to them, because of the way that we talk around them, because of the way that we put stupid moral values onto inanimate objects around them and make them feel like they have to question if they just...
Literally have to question
well,
everything.
Well, and one other thing, like, if we think that's going to improve their childhood, guess what else it can improve? People's adulthood. You know, like... It can, if we make adjustments to make a better world for our kids, those things can also make a better world for the adults in there. I have seen, it's not like, again, people are changed and suddenly they don't operate out those things, but I have seen the effect of asking questions, being curious about the way we talk about bodies and food, have positive effects on my aunts, my mom. They at least have more tools to wonder why they're following what they're following, right. You know? And again, like it might,
on us.
Yeah, it might not ever lead to a good, not even good. It might not ever lead to a relationship with food or our bodies that feels comfortable or feels like it's like we're operating out of it all the time. I don't think any of us get to operate out of that all the time, you know, but it gives us tools to think about why we're having the thoughts we're having, why we're doing the behaviors we're doing, you know, and come to at least some better understanding of ourselves and not feel like it's just us. You know, we are people being influenced by the world around us, by the people around us, by societal norms, like, and we're navigating a lot, and like, we have to give ourselves grace, we have to give others grace, but it's when it's really coming to an idea, like, we can be intentional about what we're doing and hold values that do change the way we talk about food, morals, bodies, to again make a more inclusive space.
So one thing I have noticed though regarding that is that the people who push back against us the hardest are the ones who are still hating their bodies and still struggling.
They're deep in the messaging.
Right. So if they were to question that,
smaller will equal happier.
Yes. And if they were to question that though, or push back against it at all, it's literally takes their whole life and puts it in a tailspin. So I get why there's such a struggle.
I do too. I mean, just like Rebecca said, like I have so much, like, I guess, empathy for these people because they,
because you're human and you actually have feelings and you care about others regardless but it is, of how they treat you.
But yeah, but it, because we give grace to people and because we understand, like, because we can all take a step back and say, I know how you got here. Like, I know mm-hmm. that somebody has been telling you that you're bad, that you're not good enough, that you're not this, that you're not that.
It's okay if I'm fat as long as I'm trying not to be.
Yeah, 100%. Right. And like, and even, you know, the 100 pound Betty Lou, whoever, right? Like, in leaving comments on terrible YouTube videos, right? She still hates herself, you know? Like,
it wasn't a terrible YouTube video. It was great.
Right. But like,
you know, comments were
like,
terrible.
Whatever, but just like, you know, it's internalized in all of us. It's not just in little fat girls or adult fat girls, whoever. Like, we've all grown up in this society that has told us that our looks are our social currency, and that that's what we really have to, and especially being women, we do, I feel like we have that. It's like, this is like the first thing we have to offer the world, right? So it's like we all have to, it's just been ingrained in us. It's been ingrained in us from a very early age that our appearance is probably the most valuable thing we have to offer. And so I do give a lot of grace for women who look at us and can't understand why we wouldn't want to look like them, why we wouldn't, you know, why aren't you? Why are you, you know, why? It's like, because I know where you're at. I know where you've been. And like, I'm okay just existing and not existing to do anything other than just what feels good to me. Mm-hmm. Just what feels good to me. And I want everybody to do what feels good to them, but understand that that's what feels good to you. And that's just like, period. Doesn't have to feel good to me. I have a very important question that I feel like could wrap this up for us.
I was going to add a rapid question. So now I'm curious to see if yours is a rapid question than mine is going to be.
Well, I'm going to ask mine and then you ask yours.
Okay.
My very important question is, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
That was my question.
Okay, on the count of three, we're both going to answer because we both had the question.
Wait, let me remember what's called though. Okay, I know what my...
I think I could answer.
I actually just placed a Girl Scout order. At work, this is a little fun tidbit. At work, every single year we try and find, like, the kid. Who's the Girl Scout who's gonna hook the entire team up with cookies? It feels a little bit like a drug deal, but, like, for the Girl Scout cookies. Right? We're always trying to be, like...
Got Girl Scouts and drug deals.
We're like, who's got the... And literally on Wednesday, we got the kid who got the hookup, and they were like, listen, it's the end of the season.
The plug.
So we need to know everything you want. So I ordered 4 billy and got him.
Don't tell us
we
yet.
We got to show our favorites.
We're going to say our favorite on
Twitter. I don't remember the name of my favorite. Maybe I do. That's I'll just, on you. I'll say it.
1, 2, 3.
Tag butter patties.
Yes.
What did you say?
Peanut butter patties.
No, you're wrong.
I don't even think that's the name of it. It's tag along.
Well, it depends on what region it's in.
Ah.
Oh, wait. Are we seeing the same thing?
Is the peanut butter chocolate ones?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, she's
now
not
you
wrong.
You guys need a high five.
Okay, wait. But
Thin Mints are
I will say, I got two boxes.
Samoas.
Put it in the freezer.
Samoas.
See, I was afraid to say a Samoa.
Yeah, no.
I'm racially insensitive now. Caramel Delight is, I think, the new.
Oh, the new.
Yeah.
No, they still have.
We're so sorry.
They're still called that, I believe, in some regions again. But I didn't
in
know.
In some region, regionally.
Oh, interesting.
When I was looking at the list, it still said Samoa, so. Oh. Interesting.
Either way, these two are wrong. Thin Mints are far and above.
I ordered two boxes of Thin Mints for Billy. Two boxes of Tagalongs for me, and then I just threw in a little lemon drop. Because I've tried them. And they yummy. Those lemon drops, they're good.
So my favorite cookie used to be, they used to have one that was just shortbread and then it was chocolate dipped.
Yes.
And they were like either alphabet or... But those don't have chocolate now. But the old ones used to be like had animals.
Yeah,
or they had,
I remember.
Like the ABCs. And those were the best one and now they're just gone forever.
That's okay.
So, but Thin Mint will do her.
So there you go.
Freeze it.
I agree. The freezer Thin Mint is good. But if I'm going to spend my coins, I can only buy one box. Peanut butter patties.
No.
Well, you guys let me know if you need Girl Scout cookies, because I got a girl at work now.
Listen, I feel like I got to spread my monies around. Like, I got to support this little Girl Scout. I got to support all the dreams, not just one.
No. Whoever
support
comes to
troops,
me.
Buy Girl Scout cookies.
If you can dream it, you can do it.
And guess what? When you're an adult, You can put them in your own closet. You don't got to put them in
your or in your own freezer.
When you're an adult, you can eat as many Girl Scout cookies as you want to.
That's right.
That's how we got fat.
Food is not morally ambiguous.
You can edit that out.
It's not going to happen.
We're not allowed to make self-deprecating jokes, apparently.
No, it's funny because Alyssa shared that story earlier, and I dated some guy who asked me how I got so fat. Because, you know, he liked fat women. But he's like, how'd you get so fat? And I was like, well, actually, I had a steady diet of once a week, I would eat 3 sheet cakes. You know, like it's that simple, right?
They really do think
that. They really do think that. They really do think that.
Yes, really true. Well, on that note, we're fat.
We're fab.
We're 4.
We're friends.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.